Season 1 of Written in Stone, the 1990s is supported by Tension Climbing, wooden training tools designed with purpose in Denver, Colorado. Use the code STONE, that's STONE, to get 10% off of your next purchase at tensionclimbing.com and to let them know that their support for this show matters. Not valid for tension board sets, hardware, or gift cards. Cannot be combined with other offers. TensionClimbing.com. Mastery over success. As the 1990s were giving way to the panic of Y2K, and many people were preparing their underground bunkers for certain doom, she was doing the opposite. She was getting better and stronger, improving her skills and endurance, and planning for big things. She'd recently done her first route on the cusp of 8B and knew she could climb harder. Very few women had climbed 8B plus, but it was within reach. In a few years and many routes later, she'd taken a leave of absence from her job teaching sports at a high school so that she could focus on her PhD and do more climbing. And then she broke through. That first 8B plus came in 2004, and she followed a year later by becoming the fifth woman to climb 8C or 14B. And over the next decade, she'd do many more of both grades. She'd get her PhD and become one of the most knowledgeable people on Earth about training for climbing. But Ava Lopez would do something else incredibly important. In 2008, she bolted a deceptively difficult route that would become known as Potemkin. Steep, with long moves and tiny feet, it turned out to be a little too hard for now. Over the years, she would give it a few efforts here and there, and she knew she'd have to train specific qualities to make it happen, so she put her PhD to work, making herself the best climber she could become. And in 2012, she felt ready and started giving it serious attempts. And then, in 2013, at 42 years old and still improving, she completed her vision, clipping the chains held by bolts she'd drilled years earlier, and realizing her dream of climbing 8C+. Ava, welcome to Written in Stone.
Hello, Chris. Great introduction. Thank you very much.
I'm so happy to get to talk to you again. It's been quite a while since we talked, and I still have really great memories of the last time sitting and having a conversation with you, so I'm glad to get this opportunity again.
Yeah, me too.
I have a question for you. Most of this season has been really silly questions that I've asked people to just sort of dream with me and think of magic with me. And this is the last episode of the regular season with you. So The question I have, and this is a hard one, you're going to have to make a tough decision here.
Wow. No, please.
If you could take one of Yosune's ascents for yourself.
For myself?
For yourself. But then it's not Yosune's ascent anymore. She doesn't get it anymore. Only you get it. Which one would it be?
Wow. Obviously, the last one. The last hard one. Bimbaruna.
Bimbaruna, yeah.
Yeah, because it's the harder one. And I'm as ambitious as her, I think.
Yeah.
But it couldn't be, in my case, reaching in 9A, even 9A. So if Yosune is so kind of giving me a present in the form of a route achieved by her, I would ask her for Bimbaruna.
I love it.
And yeah, you know, but in another metaverse, perhaps, because
exactly.
Yosune deserves her achievement, obviously.
Yeah, no question. Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, Ava, because I know you're just as ambitious, and I know you've watched her. You both started climbing around the same time, like right around 1990, right?
Yeah, perhaps she started a little bit before me.
Yeah.
Because I started around 90.
Mm-hmm.
1990, around in the summer of that year. But more or less the same year.
Yeah. Well, who were the climbers at the time that you were looking up to? Were there women you were looking up to at the time? Was it, what was it like back then?
Yeah. I think my first model role or role model, I don't know the order
role
of the
model.
Words.
Yep.
Role model. It was Esther Bullido. She was a woman in Spain, one of the first ones reaching 8A.
Mm.
And she was also my teacher in that stage, because I started climbing with her and with her boyfriend in the time. José Manuel Palacios. So she was my woman to look up. And then Ana Ibáñez, she was a very good one competitor at the time. She was achieving podiums in World Cups in Leiden. And then obviously Robin Arbelsfield, Lynn Hill, Isabel Patissier, Liv Sansov, Katie Brown.
Yeah.
The same ones. in the moment.
Those names have come up a lot of times this season. I think it's so important to have other women to look up to. And I imagine that was important for your early growth, right?
Yeah, perhaps it's more important when you are younger than 90.
Yeah,
as my case, because I started climbing around 90 years old.
Mm.
But when you are younger, you are adolescent, and you are 8 years old.
Yeah.
It's very important to know other women, strong women.
Yeah, definitely.
Up there.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was Spain like in the 1990s as far as the climbing scene goes? I kind of want to get a little bit of an idea for a little bit of a feel for how the climbing scene was there. Was it popular? Were there lots of climbers?
No. It wasn't popular at all. I remember to explain to everyone what was climbing consisting in.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not hiking Himalayas. It's not reaching the summit of Mont Blanc or anything like that.
Right.
It's going up in a rock wall, etc. So nobody understood what was rock climbing, and even less are about sport climbing and sport competition and grades and everything. I remember also my grandparent asking me all the time about why was I climbing so much.
Yeah.
If they weren't paying me anything. Why are you climbing so motivated, Eva, if they are not paying you? And I was saying, wow, because I love it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
We're pretty lucky to get to follow our passions.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the most important one in life, I think.
Yeah, I agree. One thing I've done this season is I've really tried to get the names right and the pronunciations of the names right. And I'm not always successful. You know, I'm talking about climbers all over the world and I'm a sheltered American, so I don't always get the pronunciations correct. And I had you send me voice notes on some of these so that I would get them correct. And I've done the same with other episodes as well. And I think Yosune is an interesting case because she's Basque, which is in Spain, but it's this autonomous community. And I had no idea until I started researching this episode that they had their own language and that it had no relatives anywhere else, that it's its own entity. And when I was doing research, I saw several people correcting other people on the internet who had pronounced her name with a Yosune or a Yosune, and several Spanish people correcting them saying it's Josune. That's how you pronounce the J in Spanish. But I've seen interviews with her where she pronounces her name Yosune. So that's what I'm going with. But I think it illustrates this interesting idea about the Basque region being a little different. Have you spent any time climbing there?
Yeah, I have spent a lot of time there because there are lovely places and they have many cracks, really, really great, like Araoch in Oñati and Valsola Cave, for example, and they are fantastic. So I have been traveling there in summer, many summers, to try some routes, some hard routes.
So it's a good summer area.
Well, no, it's not the best one because, lately it's not a good place in Spain in any zone. Only Cantabria and the north, because Euskadi is more at the east, a little northeast, east. And there are a lot of humidity there. For example, in Oñati, where it's honky-tonky. Honky-tonky mix and panoramics, etc. And Valsola Cave is a better place for summer. But nowadays, it's restricted because some ecological issues.
Got it. Seems to be happening everywhere.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the Basque climbers. I saw in one interview, Ricard says that Yosune is very Basque. Like her personality is very Basque. And I've seen that in multiple places. So tell me a little about the Basque people. What makes them different in your opinion?
Well, it's a hard topic because I can go to some stereotypes and sure. I don't like that. But for example, I think it's people with a great sense of community. Perhaps because political reasons, because many years ago, not so many years ago, but recently, it was a dictatorship here in Spain, you know. It lasted around 40 years, so a long time. And this dictator, Franco, repressed many areas, nationalism areas, like Euskadi, banning their culture and language and so on. So I think because of that, they are a group very united between them, perhaps. Then it's a place with a long tradition for mountain sports.
Yeah.
because of the place, because geography. They have beautiful mountains and also beach and a lot of places to practice this type of sports.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding personality, well, I don't know. Perhaps, well, it's great people in general. So
yeah, that's sort of what I've been finding in my research, is that there, like you said, there's this sense of community and independence, and that they're really proud, passionate people, and the mountains are in their blood. That's sort of what I've been reading in lots of places. So that, you know, exactly what you said tracks with what I'm hearing.
Yeah. In general, they are friendly people. Someone travel there, they are very, very nice.
Yeah,
I think they make you feel great with them and with the place. They are
great.
Honest and humble and with a lot of mental strength, I think, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's definitely tough to talk about those things when it's a stereotype. But they're stereotypes for a reason, I guess. You know, there are a lot of shared traits amongst the people. So one of the things I reached out to you about initially was that here in the U.S., Yosune isn't as well known. A lot of American climbers think that, you know, the first woman to climb 9A was Sasha DeJulian or one of these other women that we've heard more about in the news. And that's nothing against Sasha or any of these women. It's just that's how the media has reported it. And I want to get a sense for, in Spain, was Yosune more well known?
Yeah, more than abroad. Obviously, she is, but not as much as she should, I think, in my opinion. Perhaps because many years ago, there weren't social media networking like nowadays, but this is the reality. Yeah. But it's surprising to me that in abroad, almost anyone knows Yosune and her achievements. Because for me, it's exactly, or even more, because it's a woman, than Golfan Gulic.
Yeah, I agree.
Because she reached 8C, XC plus, 9A, and 9A almost plus by herself.
Yeah.
In the world. It's amazing.
Yeah. She was so far ahead. Do you remember the first time you heard of her?
Yeah, because we knew each other in competitions. So I saw her in every competition and shared with her that times. We weren't friends because we hadn't the opportunity to know each other in that time.
Right.
But we shared the same scenarios in competition. Mainly, then in the magazines and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
of course.
Was it clear during those competition years that she was going to do what she ended up doing?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Mm.
In the time that she achieved her first 8B plus.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that she was going to reach the grades she proposed to her.
Mm.
Because she had a lot of determination and the means for reaching their goals, her goals, and the circumstances were appropriate, everything in her favor, and herself, her personality and her characteristics, physical, mental, and motor ones, everything.
Yeah. What was it about her climbing? I'm curious. You know, you as a coach, can you put your finger on anything about her climbing? You know, was it mostly physical? Was it mostly mental? Was it her motivation? What about her climbing helped her get to that level?
As always, it's a mixture of a lot of things. I have been thinking about that and these type of cases in history, like Janja Garnbret nowadays, everything.
Yep.
And I think it's one case in million, in a million.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have the means, the motives, and the opportunity, like in crimes.
Yeah. Yep.
Meaning you have the genetic potential, you have the social context, you have the economical and materials resources, and the moment is appropriate for your goals, and all the factors happening in one person at a time, in a specific time, and the magic emerge.
You know what, Ava? You just made me think about something. You said before her accomplishments were similar to Wolfgang. I would go a step further and say they were greater than Wolfgang's, because when Wolfgang was breaking through that level, he also had Ben Moon there breaking through that level and doing Hubble, and Fred Nicole doing Bain de Sang, and then Alex Huber. Uh-huh. There were all these people at the same time sort of breaking through. With Yosune, there was no one else for a decade breaking through to those levels. So she was sort of flying solo, you know, doing it on her own. So I think that's an even greater accomplishment than what Wolfgang did.
Yeah, I think I agree with you totally. And in fact, I think this is the main factor affecting to Yosune for quitting from climbing at the elite level.
Yeah.
After being Valuna. Because she has talked about it, and she said that she felt empty after so great, great accomplishments and so great efforts in playing solo, as you are saying right now. So, she had a very positive social context at that time, because she was surrounded by friends, really strong, and who was motivating her in her effort and for pushing limits in that way, and they believe in herself. So she was supported by them. Even at the end, you are alone in front of the route and the accomplishment. But it's crazy what she did.
Yeah. Area. The more I think about it now, talking to you, the bigger it becomes, you know. It took 8 years. There were 8 years where Lynn Hill had climbed Mas Critique and as the first 514 by a woman. And it took 8 years for a woman to climb harder than that. And that was Yosune. But then within 7 years, she had onsighted 8B plus and had climbed something on the cusp of 9A plus, which is just a massive, it's, she sped up the trajectory of women's climbing so much.
Yeah. I think the same. And it's curious because it's the same amount of years as Gulit for reaching from 8B to 9A.
Yeah.
7 years. So perhaps it's because there are a lot of self-confidence in you because you are reaching, you propose yourself, you establish a very ambitious goal and you work on it and you push and push and push and you reach the goal. And then you feel really, really great. Your confidence grows a lot, and this makes you go for another bigger goal, and then another one, and then another one.
Mm-hmm.
And because at the end, the number of the years available for you to reach something so hard is not very high.
Yeah, so that's true.
She took advantage perfectly of the moment, and those in those years, she reached the maximum.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think we see that in a lot of sports, you know, and the people at the top that burn really bright, they last a certain number of years and then they sort of fade quickly. And we want them to continue forever. You know, it's our dream that we want them to just keep going.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work that way, you know. Michael Jordan has to retire, you know. Tiger Woods isn't so far ahead of the field forever. You know, Serena Williams has a family and retires, and we want them to continue forever, but they don't. And it's the same with Yosune. And it occurs to me listening to you that when that article, there was an article in Climbing Magazine that came out that said the title was something like the greatest female climber no longer feels the need to climb, you know. And it wasn't that she wasn't saying, I quit, I'm never climbing again. She was just saying, I've reached my peak. I've done the things I want to do. Now I'm challenging myself in other ways.
Yeah.
And it was a really beautiful sentiment that I think the headline didn't do justice to, which is another case of this really beautiful, passionate climber not being given the like credit they deserve.
Yeah, you're right. It's unfair.
Well, you know, she was very into training for climbing. That's something I've read quite a bit about. And at the time, we didn't hear much about women or men, for that matter, being really into training. You know, I think the Wolfgang had popularized it. John Backer had popularized it. Ben Moon and Jerry Moffat had popularized it, but it hadn't really caught on to the masses yet. And I'm curious where your interest in training for climbing, did it sort of grow at the same time as Yosune was training? Was it already popular in Spain to train amongst climbers? What did that look like?
Yeah. It's interesting because I have given a keynote about this exactly, like this, about this topic, about my coach career and how I have been figuring out the knowledge in training for climbing and everything. And in my case, I started climbing and I started to go to the library for looking for scientific papers and and books and magazines, anything for training better to myself.
Yeah.
And then with every route I was trying, I was thinking about how to train after that and how to prepare my mind and then how to train other people and things like that. So, and Yosune was also really interested in training because obvious reasons, because they weren't coaches. As many as nowadays, and you had to look for the information by yourself. Almost all the people thought that climbing was the best training, and there weren't any climbing walls for training.
Right.
People were building some walls in their homes and doing perhaps pull-ups and then handboard training, something very, very rudimentary and things like that. But not many people were training in a systematic way.
Yeah. One of the things I appreciated about, you know, learning more about Yosune was when I first started, you know, trying to make a living from training climbers, one of the roadblocks I was up against pretty often is people drew this like dividing line between I climb for love and passion versus I want to improve. And there was no mixing of those two things. I thought it made sense to mix those two things, but at the time there was this division, and Yosune very clearly mixed those two things together. You know, she was very passionate about her climbing and loved her climbing, but then she also knew, I want to train indoors for this, you know, very strict cycle before I go out and explore my passion more on the rock. And I thought that was really, really a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I think everyone had to have that approach. I don't understand separating those things. I don't understand that. But perhaps in that time of the history, was starting to appear the more systematic approach to climbing in like any other sport. Because before that, climbing was adventure, perhaps, I don't know. Climbing was being in the nature and only climbing on the rock wall. And then the approach to training, it was strange for those people. But I think I started climbing exactly in the moment those modalities were mixing. Yeah.
Great timing then. I'm glad you started when you did.
I don't. It was better starting even before. Because at 43, reaching your maximum grade is not the same. It's not the better stage in life.
Yeah, I agree. I climbed my hardest boulder at 45, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And my hardest route so far at 40. So I'm in a similar boat.
Yeah, we are similar.
Yeah. Well, question. This is something I've seen happen to women in multiple sports, and I don't know if I've seen it as much in climbing, though I have seen a little, and I'm curious if it's something that you ever encountered. There's sort of this fine line between being inspired by someone's accomplishments and then creating this like rivalry in your mind, you know? And I think the media tends to play that up with women, especially, that there's some rivalry and they can't actually like each other because they're both competing for this top spot. Was there any of that with Yosune? I'm curious, since you were near the top of Spanish women climbing at the time, was there any of that going on, or was it more friendly than anything?
Yeah, with time, I have realized that rivalry among women, you are saying, was more common before in my time, I think, than nowadays, because feminism nowadays is stronger. At that time, only one woman could go to international competitions in Spain, for example. Only one.
Sure.
Only one. Perhaps zero.
Yeah.
So the mentality in the time for every woman, even in the world, it's that there is only place for one. So we are all rivals, because there is no place for all of them.
That's a good point. We've sort of created this system where, at least back then, where women were really just coming into sport at that level. So we created this system where there's one, and that's it. And at the same time, you know, like I mentioned earlier, and like I've covered this season quite a bit, the top male climbers there were a bunch of them at that level, all getting attention from different places and all collaborating in some ways, but also competing with each other in some ways. And that sort of drove things forward. But at the same time, we only left room for one top woman. It was Lynn Hill or it was Robin. You know, there wasn't room for both.
Yeah. Luckily, nowadays it's different, I think.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I remember that feeling about rivalry. And it's sad because in the depth of my soul, I admired to Yosune a lot, and she was an inspiration to me, and I wanted to achieve the same things she achieved, perhaps because I identified with her in a lot of things, determination, ambition, and I was and I am very systematic in my goals, and I put all the things I need for achieving my goals, etc. But I wasn't her, obviously.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be like her, but more than that, I wanted to be her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I identified a lot with her, and Yosune for me is it's an amazing climber and a person who means a lot for climbing history in Spain and in the world, obviously. Regarding my time, because Josune quit climbing or abandoned climbing for the great numbers before me, I felt alone also in Spain when I was achieving XC and XC plus, even less than that, less than before. But when I achieved XC, and I was almost the only one in Spain with perhaps one or two girls from time to time appearing, trying her routes, I was almost alone. So, because there weren't social media, I felt a little alone.
That's an interesting thing. You know, the rivalry we build up in our heads, if we don't let it go too far, can be this really great friendly competition that's going on that I think can drive performance as long as it's kept in a really healthy space, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe even speculating here, because we've done a lot of that this season, but if you had been reaching those numbers a little earlier, or if someone else had been climbing at the level that Josune was when she was climbing 8C plus 9A, maybe there would have been a little friendly competition that kept her going a little longer. Or push the numbers even higher. Who knows? But I think it's fun to speculate about that.
Yeah, I think another factor is the moment in history, because before we were starting climbing very old, we were climbing with our friends or boyfriends or girlfriends, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you were an adult right. person.
Right.
So you are climbing separated for other women in the country, for example. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, because girls start climbing in competitions, in teams, in regional teams, they are growing, helping each other.
Yeah.
Among women, and there are a very healthy environment because of that, because they are growing together and they are competing and having fun in competitions. Mm-hmm. And then when the moment of quitting competition perhaps comes, they are going to rocks together.
Yep.
All together, all women together, all girls together, because I'm seeing that now.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I hadn't really considered the difference between adults and when you're younger, the friend group that you have around you all the time. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Thinking about that time, I don't think I had a rivalry in unhealthy with Josune, for example. It's not the case. It's not. But talking in general about rivalry among women, this is a fact from that years before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a interesting.
What? can you put into words, I think it's hard to put it into words, what she means to general world climbing history? You know, she's certainly a contender for the most important woman in climbing history. you know, I think she and Lynn Hill might have to share a spot on that throne. But certainly a contender for it. So I'm curious, what is your thought for what Yosune means to climbing?
Well, it's really difficult to put in words, in a phrase or a paragraph. Yeah, but I don't know. I think Yosune is one of the most important figures of all time. And it's also an important figure, I don't know, Gurich. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, for example, I want to talk about something, and it's about the comparison between the greatest achievement reached by a man
mm-hmm.
and a woman. And if I think about the 9C, the first 9C
mm-hmm.
in history, and I compare that with the first 9B in history by a woman, those two goals weren't considered the same.
No.
Absolutely.
No. The media definitely pays more attention to the men reaching the big goals.
Yeah. And this, I think this has affected to the relevance of the figure of Yosune in history.
Mm.
Because she's a woman, and in the second place, she's from here, from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, but if she was American,
yeah.
or American, I think history was different, right?
So even like the rest of the world, and I'm asking because I really don't know. I know that in America she's not as well known, but do you think if she were American and reached those goals, she would be more well known worldwide?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I think so. Perhaps one of the reasons is that the United States has a lot of population.
Sure.
You are a lot of people, many, many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
So many people hear about the sport achievements in the first place. So yeah, this is a factor. We are a little country, and perhaps that is affecting. I don't know. But in summary, Yosune is one of the most important climbers in the world, climbing history.
For sure. I think one of the most important athletes. I think the way she moved women's climbing forward at the end of the 90s and into the 2000s was one of the greatest runs in athletic history of dominance. It's really, really impressive what she did over those years, because it took so long for the rest of us to catch up.
Yeah. It was a lot of years. How many years she was in the top of the great climb?
I think it was 2017 when Margot did La Rambla.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been
12
years.
12 years. It's a lot of years.
That's a long time.
I think there is another factor in that is because there are not many women climbing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly like in any sport, except in the feminine sports like gymnastic mm-hmm. or swimming or volleyball. But because we are less people, women climbing, there are not enough critical mass.
Right.
You know? And then in this group of women climbing, they are almost of them competing.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are no women living, competing to go to only achieve things in rock climbing.
Right.
This is my theory. Another one theory.
Well, I appreciate your theories. And, you know, I spend a lot of time coming up with my own theories as well. So I'm glad other people are doing the same thing. And I think you're onto something there. You know, the Janja Garnbrechts and the Brooke Rabatous and the, you know, there are a lot of women, the best climbers in the world focused on competition. So I think you're onto something there.
Okay.
Well, Ava, I want to thank you first for your part in climbing history as well. You know, your contributions to climbing hard, not only walking the walk yourself, but also helping others improve themselves. I think it's a real gift to all of us that you've helped us all get better. And I make my living helping climbers improve, and you played a big part in the way that I approach coaching and training. And I appreciate that so much. And I appreciate the conversations we've had over the years. And I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down today and chat about Yasuné.
Thanks to you, Chris. For me, it's a pleasure. And thanks for your words about me. 1, 2
All right, Written in Stone is produced by me, Chris Hampton, with help from Riley Rush and Emily Holland for Plugtone Audio, a group of the best, most impactful podcasts in the outdoor industry. At the link in your show notes, you'll find all the things you expect and probably some you don't, like how you can become a member of the Secret Stoners Club, where you'll find bonus materials and between season episodes. And look, this show is 100% rooted in the facts, but like Todd Skinner always said, never let the truth get in the way of a good story. This was the final interview of season one. So if you love what you're hearing, please give us those 5 stars and a glowing review and tell every single one of your friends. And maybe then we can make a season 2, and together we can tell the stories of climbing's most important ascents, one decade at a time. Secret Stoners. Wow, we are finished. Honestly, I can't think of a better way to take this season out than by talking with Ava Lopez. I've talked to some really special people this season, both on the podcast and off of the podcast. But once I realized that there was going to be a Yasuné episode, Ava was one of the first people I reached out to I think before the season ever even came out, maybe before I had any of the episodes done, and asked her if she would be willing to come on, because she is a legend herself, and I appreciate her work so much, and I always love talking with her. So thanks, Ava. Also, just to continue this, wow, Yosune heard the podcast. So many of the people that I've talked about and talked to this season have given me really great feedback. People are excited about a show celebrating the history of climbing. And that makes me happy because I was, you know, I didn't know what to think putting this thing together. Like, it's not just a bunch of 2 hour long interviews over and over and over. It's something a little different. So I'm glad it's resonated the way it has. And thank you all for your support. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm feeling a little aimless. I don't know where to go from here. I'm just kidding. I haven't been aimless since I was probably 12 years old or something. That just doesn't happen. I've got a million things I could be doing. And actually, I probably need a break before I need anything else. But I do have some things coming. And before I tell you about those, I want to give a shout out to Robin Richardson, our newest rock star. Robin, thank you for the support. It's the support of you all that's really made this worth it for me. All right, coming later this week in the Patreon, I'll be posting about the giveaway that we'll be having. Again, you don't have to do anything. You're all already entered if you're in the Secret Stoners Club Patreon. Also, I'll be back on this main feed in a few weeks with a wrap-up episode for the season. I know I have some things to say. I need to sort of collect my thoughts, and I need to breathe a little before I start writing that episode. So give me a few weeks, but I will be back. And then once that episode is out, I'll start putting together mini episodes for all of you Secret Stoners. Like I said, I've got a running list of ideas that I think is going to be really fun. And I'll probably be putting some polls in the Patreon in the next few weeks to sort of see what style episode you all want more of and what you enjoyed most and what you find valuable, so that I can get an idea on where to head from here. And in that wrap-up episode in a few weeks, you know, I was thinking I was going to announce what season will be coming next, but maybe I'll save that. Maybe I'll let you all know before I let anybody else know. And the rest of the world will just have to learn that later. That sounds better. All right, you guys, thank you. I'll see you in the Patreon, or I'll see you in a few weeks.